Welcome to the Simply Be Found Huddle, where we talk about everything business and business related, from marketing, growing your business. And today we have our guest, Alex, on the show. Welcome, Alex. You created and one of the co-founders, if I read everything correctly, about for Portfolio Pilot. And that's an AI software for stock, correct?
That's right. Yep. Yeah, okay. We built an AI financial advisor for individuals.
Perfect. So is that to put on top of E-Trade or whatever software you're using, or are you able to do trades and everything directly from it?
Yeah, I think typically when people hear financial advisor, they think about, you know, a portfolio manager and, you know, your guy or your like old buddy from high school who's now, you know, supposed to be managing your portfolio. We're specifically targeting self-directed investors. And so It connects to your eToro account, your Webull account, or your Fidelity, even your 401ks, your crypto wallets, real estate, mortgage, bank accounts, credit cards, student loans, private equity, you know, whatever you have. It basically sits on top and aggregates all these different pieces and then gives you optimization suggestions.
Cool. So I've wrote some major AI stuff for the finance world and how, you know, stock trading and all that goes and watching for buys and all that stuff. So I've touched that world quite a bit, actually, and I still advise in that world with some people for what the technology world is, but I haven't heard of yours. So when you're going through and you're doing that, what is the typical use case for the typical person that knows nothing about stocks or might know enough to be dangerous?
Yeah, it's excellent. And like, obviously there's tons of stuff, AI and finance, and you know, over the last couple of years, right? Like things have gotten a little crazy. I think that for the most part, the existing companies are focused on either the sort of experts and their trading engines and alpha generators and signal generators for Wall Street, or, you know, trying to find alternative data streams. Or it's a whole bunch of tools for traders and, you know, retail investors, sort of the 1-2% that are see this as a hobby or a profession, or, you know, it's a big part of the social life. What we've built is for the, you know, in my head, you know, there's sort of 2% of individuals, you know, non-experts, 2% of individuals that want to be traders and like it's a big part of their core identity. Then there's 20% that just say, I don't want to be involved in this in any way. Just give it to somebody else to manage. And the remaining 78% that want to be somewhat involved. You know, they're not necessarily wanting to do active stock selection. They're focused on retirement planning. They're diversified because they have money in 8 different places, but it's hard to know if there's overlapping. I think for the majority of people, they want somewhere in between where they can sort of dial in. And the idea that Portfolio Pilot does 98% of the work for you and then basically gives you a menu of different optimization suggestions and then still allows you to press the big red button to actually make a trade or think about insurance or estate planning or retirement planning or retirement accounts or whatever it is, right? There's a lot that falls under this umbrella of financial advice.
Okay.
And we cover it all.
So when you first log in, I'm assuming it asks you a ton of questions and kind of walks you through. Can you tell me a little bit about that and dive into that a little bit deeper?
Similar to if you were to walk into the office of a human financial advisor, right? They'd sit you down and say, Robert, let's get to know you. And same thing, when you sign up for Portfolio Pilot, we take you through this questionnaire. And you know, it's fairly simple, definitely more than signing up to like any other SaaS application, right? It takes 4 minutes on average to make your way through this sort of initial questionnaire. We ask everything from sort of standard questions like risk preference to just what you want to get out of the product, right? Are you focused on just tracking your portfolio? You wanting to feel more confident in your decisions, trying to squeeze more juice and get more expected returns? Are you focusing on downside protection? What's your long-term goal? Do you have any short-term goals? What's your tax situation, income? You know, are you married? What's your age? Are you thinking, are you more focused on income generation, thinking about dividends and fixed income, or are you more focused on just growth at all costs? There's like something about investment mentality, the kinds of recommendations you want to see. Some people only want crypto recommendations. Some other people want like just super low eccentricity, Vanguard, you know, low cost ETFs. And that's perfectly fine, right? The idea with AI and sort of means that we can deliver a level of personalization that doesn't really exist in the rest of the world.
Cool. Tell me a little bit about that, for how that customization works and how it gets to know you.
Part of it is that initial onboarding questionnaire, right? Okay. Then we ask you to either link accounts through like 13,000 different accounts and brokerages and wallets that we support. You can simply just upload a statement or take a screenshot of your portfolio, right? There's a bunch of different ways that we pull people into the, you know, pull people sort of personal information into the product. Bank level security, we've thought a lot about encryption and two-factor authentication and keeping data secure. And then ultimately we give you an assessment. And so we say, you know, Robert, you are on track for retirement, or here's, you know, where you're falling short. Here's how you compare to all your peers in your age, in your risk profile. Here's how much you're paying in fees, taxes. Here's a bunch of opportunities that are available that you could fix and, you know, improve. Here's a bunch of stuff that you're already doing right. And then you can simply just use it as sort of this score assessment or portfolio tracking. There's like a couple different tools that let you do, you know, create a draft portfolio and run some comparisons on decisions that you might make. But then all of that's free. And then we basically try to upsell you to our Portfolio Pilot Gold plan. At $20 a month, this gives you actual fiduciary financial advice. So we're actually a registered investment advisor with the SEC.
I was just getting ready to ask you.
Pain in the ass to go through that process, but, you know, worth it, because it actually allows the system to give opinionated, personalized investment advice. And so otherwise we wouldn't be able to tell you, you know, Robert, you should make this trade for these reasons. And so the idea is, you know, to improve your, you know, your risk match. Right? At the end of the day, we want to make sure that, you know, we're matching the risk that you're comfortable with, keeping right in mind what's happening in markets, what's already there in your existing net worth, and the preferences you've told us. We want to optimize the efficiency of your overall portfolio, right? So the question is not, is NVIDIA a buy or a sell? It's, is it a buy or a sell for me individually, right? And that, there's a whole host of different factors that go into that beyond just, you know, is NVIDIA trading above or below some technical line, or, you know, whatever else you might, you know, read out there. It's a very personal thing, you know, with my specific tax situation, with what I'm holding in the rest of my portfolio, my long-term and short-term goals. And then there's sort of this like tail risk, downside protection, thinking about, and so it factors all those things in, and then we give your recommendations to you. And even then it's kind of like Netflix or Amazon. You know, we're not going to get it right, right? We're going to give you a menu of different options. We think these are things that, you know, suggestions to make your financial life better. And then you can still accept or reject those individual recommendations.
Some and we'll go out and make the purchase for you from that software, or you have to do it inside?
You can add it into a draft portfolio. You know, most, like, you can set it up as either read only, or you can do one click trading, you know, within certain supported accounts. For most people, they actually really like the idea that, you know, we are not executing trades on your behalf.
Right.
That you are actually ultimately in control. And so for the majority of people, they like the idea that they can put stuff into a draft portfolio, you know, sort of do some comparison, run a back test, you know, show a comparison between these two portfolios. You know, this one has a score of 812 and this one has a score of 805. You know, according to the system. And then once they feel confident about that, then they go into the brokerage account, to their 401k, and actually go and execute the trade.
That's kind of cool. That's kind of cool for how you end up doing that part. So you mentioned that it'll look at credit cards, it'll look at mortgages, it'll look at all those different pieces. So if I'm a family angel investing private equity firm, can it also analyze those risks as well and bring that data and those profiles in?
Yeah, exactly. We support private equity, angel investments, startup options, founder equity, private debts. There's just custom assets, fixed income. And so as you can imagine, like, we're not going to tell you to sell off 20% of your house, but
Oh, come on,
it's
you can turn
important
into
to
a VRBO.
understand
Yeah,
that
turn into a VRBO. Rent out a room today.
there's like we support rental properties, and like it'll get included in the income calculations, thinking about long-term retirement planning and taxes. And there's a certain equity in your house that is very important. You think about leverage and the risk you're taking in your life. Part of it is tied to the amount of mortgage that you have and where your property is located. And so that'll get taken into consideration as part of the rest of the analysis. But behind the scenes, we basically consider it in what we call an immutable asset, right? We're not going to tell you to buy or sell a part of this asset, but it is taken into account in all the rest of the simulations and the advice and the analysis. Same thing with angel investments or student loans or things like that.
So I know there's a lot of people who are members of ours that are inside of, I'd say, just the small business world. And some of they used to be where they were talking about penny stocks all the time. Now they're starting to talk about, more about Bitcoin and all the e-currency that's out there. Tell me about, if they're going and buying that stuff direct or however they're using it to be able to buy that stuff for the crypto, or even just buying penny stocks at this point, what would be the value of them coming to get in your software? What's that going to change in their and help them inside of that way?
Yeah, so I think similar to the example that we just talked about before with NVIDIA, right? I think it's very difficult to know, should I buy more Bitcoin or should I sell some of my Bitcoin? Right? That is the question right now, right? And part of it comes down to forecasting models and thinking about macro exposure. But a big other part of it comes down to, what do I hold in the rest of my portfolio, right? If my portfolio is 80% Bitcoin right now versus 1% Bitcoin, they're like, whether you should buy or sell, it's going to be wildly different. The taxes that you need to pay should really factor into whether you sell Bitcoin or not. What other platform out there will calculate the amount of taxes that you need to pay, as part of a recommendation that comes up? It's like, it should be, my personal opinions probably should be more than 50% of the consideration. Whether you sell some of your Bitcoin position should be based on how much you're paying taxes. You should think about correlation of this security to the rest of your portfolio. Whether it's a some meme stock or some pink sheet penny stock or your S&P 500 spy fund, you got to think about correlation to the rest of your portfolio. You have to think about like portfolio construction, right? For a lot of hedge funds, a lot of work they do is trying to find alpha and dislocations and arbitrage opportunities. But an also very sizable part of what they do is just risk management and
It
thinking
is.
about hedging and portfolio management and uncorrelated risks. And I think a big part of what we bring to the market, part of the reason why it's even called Portfolio Pilot, is because we think retail investors, individuals should think about portfolio management probably much more than trying to find, the next Tesla or the next Nvidia. For most people, what you do with your idle cash that's sitting in your 401k is probably more important and more impactful than, the right trade in your Robinhood account.
It is, and I think people like the risk. So I mean, I look at the stock market. I actually had this conversation with my mother-in-law the other day. She goes, "Well, you like to go gambling." She goes, "I just do the stocks, and it's no, that's not gambling." I'm like, "Stock market is 100% a gamble." I'm like, "Apparently, you've never met any of the guys who charged for any of the money inside of the stock market. You'd be terrified if you knew who was behind all the bells and whistles. It scared the shit out of you." But exactly. It's, I hung out with those guys. I know
there's a dark world there to dive into.
It's a whole different world of how we see the world. But I think it comes down into being able to manage that portfolio. So my question is, do you make any money based on any of the trades or how well the portfolio does or how it doesn't?
We like when we set up the company and the product, we truly thought about like all the problems, all the disincentives and conflicts of interest and human bias that factors into sort of current advice and like a lot of the rest of the fintech ecosystem. And we tried to figure out what is the right pricing model? How do we think about, you know, really aligning with users? And so what we charge is simply just a monthly membership to get access to the advice. Kind of like a gym membership, you know, you can use it as much or as little as you want.
Perfect.
And for some people, they use it, you know, to an extreme and they're in the gym every single day. And some people, you know, it feels good just to have the gym membership and know that you can go to the gym. So all the power to you, right? It's like truly about like trying to empower people, removing these conflicts of interest, removing the human bias. There's something about having this like portfolio score, sort of a North Star that's very comforting to people in that like otherwise it's very difficult to sift through all the noise that exists in this world. And so, basically it's all about trying to align with the end user. And so far that's been working pretty well, right? Over the last, basically we got the regulatory approval to operate as a registered investment advisor about 18 months ago. In the last 18 months, we've gone from zero to about $30 billion in assets on the platform. And so, you know, maybe most people don't know about us just yet, but I hope that changes pretty soon.
I mean, I'm going to send your information off to a few people. I didn't ask them before because I didn't want any biased opinion before doing the thing. But I've got a Rolodex of people I'm going to call and ask on that and see if they've heard of you, or if they don't, I'll point them your way for sure.
We're constantly looking for feedback, right? Like, I feel like we've built the system and all the features, and now we're truly just trying to make this incredible consumer product that is easy to use and people feel confident having this, you know, financial guide in your corner. I think so much of it is about trust, right?
Well, and I think that I think you're solving the problem, and your big problem that you're solving is a lot of these financial advisors, they make money if you lose money, they're making money if you make money, there's so many backdoor deals that happen at these financial advisors. Some of them, I think, push the limits of what the SEC allows from what I know about the SEC, and I'm not a lawyer or financial advisor. To toss out my disclaimer in there, but it's one of those things to where it gives you control to know, make some of your own decisions. I'm assuming you could sign up for your software, do a check and almost check your financial advisor. So you can go in and be a little bit more armed if you're using a financial advisor, and they would have no idea you're even using a piece of AI behind the scenes. Am I assuming correctly on that?
Absolutely right. So I'd say we're not actively trying to steal clients from financial advisors.
Why not?
Maybe down the road. I mean, there's some lock-in and trust and comfort with, you know, your guy right now, right? And so there's a lot of self-directed investors that have spreadsheets, or they're sort of trying to do it themselves and they want to guide into that process. But last time we checked, I think we had something like 20% of our users have an externally managed account, you know, with a financial advisor. And I've talked to a lot of those people, and why do you use our system, right? You don't even have any control, you can't make the trades. And a lot of those conversations go something like what you just said. You know, they say, well, if I get, you know, a diagnosis from a doctor, it's very reasonable for me to get a second opinion. But like getting a second opinion is sort of frowned upon in the world of financial advice, right? I got to just trust my person, my advisor. And so the idea that I could just sort of plug in the numbers and the positions and upload this spreadsheet into Portfolio Pilot and get a second opinion, why not? You know, it takes me 10 minutes. I can have a more informed conversation. I feel a little bit more confident. And, you know, sometimes it raises some interesting questions about, you know, why did you put me into this fund? Why, you know, why am I paying you the 1% fees and I'm paying 1.5% fees on this mutual fund? And you've done a whole bunch of trading in and out of this fund over the last year. What's going on here? You know, let's have a serious direct conversation about that. And honestly, if we did only that, you know, if our company was simply just a check and balance on sort of this massive financial advisory market, I would be happy. Obviously, I think we can do way more over time and right. become something really big. But if it forces a little bit more double checking and makes individuals more confident, man, I would be happy with just that.
Well, I think there's a huge market for that. So I think there's a lot of people who are unsure that don't really know what happens. They're terrified. It's no different than our market that we do. People are terrified. They don't understand that they could do their marketing on their own with a little bit of help from the back end of the tech gurus inside of what we do for like web design. I don't think you should build a Wix website because I don't think it's going to perform the way you're looking for it compared to, you know, the data side. Well, your financial side is so much closer to that. So, I mean, I spend all day inside of data sets and in my data science world, and I love right. that from the finance set standpoint because it's very, they match up, and I've done both sides of that. And I think there's a lot of people who are starting to question if their financial advisor is correct or if they're right or if they could be doing better. And there's a lot of financial advisors right now that are leaving the market because they're retiring themselves and selling their brokerage offices off. And that's going to cause some distrust out there as well, uncertainty. So I think from a marketing aspect, you're missing out on a huge chunk if that's not front and center on your website and pointing out that, hey, we can do a cross check. We're not going to have access to any of your accounts. Just share your accounts. Let's start building that relationship. Come on into our environment. Let's build this relationship up. And then if it works for both of us and you continue it, it's a win-win. If it doesn't work for you, we part friends. Our family eats it regardless. No big deal. I mean, that's the approach I would take from that aspect. I think there's a lot of small business owners. I think there's a lot of people out there who are going to be looking for a product like yours. Just my own two cents, just to be able to see what I'm seeing inside of there.
I think you're absolutely right. Right. So much of it is just about that trust. I think we have a huge advantage in the sense that, you know, to start using Portfolio Pilot, you don't need to send us your money. Right. That's a huge barrier for robo advisors and separately managed accounts and brokerages and financial advisors. But there's so much initial trust that needs to be built up. Whereas for us, you know, we can basically just get you in the door, give you this assessment, and exactly like what you just said, we can part as friends if you don't like it. You know, no problem. It's like it's completely automated, right? The margins are incredibly high, which means that we can offer this like incredible sort of free entry product and, you know, make the whole thing work. And so I definitely have, you know, sort of visions a couple of years down the road, you know, Super Bowl ad, you know, telling people like, you know, sort of this doctor, you know, sort of scene or there was this Larry David Super Bowl ad, I don't know, last year or 2 years ago. I don't know if you remember that, but it was like, it was probably something around insurance where I was just like, this is the best insurance. And Larry David would go like, I don't know about that. Yeah, I was sort of like a whole bunch of different things. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Something similar to like, well, this is the best financial advice for you, Robert. I don't know about that. Let's check Portfolio Pilot. You know, some sort of ad campaign like that, I think, would be like incredibly successful.
I mean, it's one of those things to where only a few SaaS companies have pulled off being able to do an ad. Probably your biggest one that ever pulled off out of the gate that I can think of for a Super Bowl ad would have been GoDaddy.
Right.
I mean, they cornered the market majorly with that, and they came, that was a good bet for them. Granted, they were right at that dot-com push, which you're probably too young to even remember that whole entire dot-com crash and everything that happened back in the day. But, you know, now I'm gonna feel old, and Dean's not here for me to pick on him and make him the old guy of the group. I mean, I go back to AOL, dial-up, all that stuff. I mean, that's how I learned the internet.
I'm not crazy old, but I do definitely remember dial-up and like finally moving to a DSL connection and like, you know, LimeWire days, and like remembering that like with a DSL connection, like a song would download in only 3 minutes, and that was like a big deal. It was like, I can actually download a whole album in an afternoon. Like,
right.
That is absolutely game-changing.
So I learned how to network on MS-DOS.
That's before my time.
And Windows 3.1. So, I mean, the internet has changed in what's been there and what you have access to. AI's gave you access to a ton of stuff. We have tons of tools for AI. For how we, you know, handle different listings and how we do all that stuff. And I think the finance world, I'm really kind of curious to see what ends up coming of your system, because I think it's a huge market. I think there's going to be a lot of people entering that market. I know E-Trade has a couple of programs out that are kind of similar in some ways and aspects, but I think you're kind of beating the market from what I'm hearing on there. So I'm going to have to log in. I'm going to have to check it out and look, dive a little bit deeper into it, but I'm excited.
I would love to know what you think. Yeah. I think there's absolutely portfolio trackers and sort of analysis tools out there. And there's a lot of stuff for technical traders. I think the biggest thing is that, you know, so few of them are registered investment advisors, which means that they basically need to hold short of giving you interesting feedback. You know, there are tools out there that show you, you know, you can connect your portfolio and it'll tell you, you have 21% tech exposure.
Yep.
And here's how your asset classes break down. And here's how your portfolio has performed over the last year. But taking it a step further and saying, here's how we think your portfolio is going to perform over the next 12 months. Or here is, like, you should actually be 24% tech exposure for these different reasons. Or you're like really at risk, you know, holding these asset classes here. If you cross the line to what I consider interesting insights, you need to be a registered investment advisor. And I think it's simply just the case that most other players or potential competitors haven't taken that extra step, because it's way harder to be a registered investment advisor.
It is. It's a lot harder.
And there's all kinds of rules associated with that, and auditing systems and a big compliance program. And I don't know, from my previous company, we were like deep in the regulatory world. And so
what company was that?
Problematic at all. I ran an autonomous vehicle company before this.
Oh, man, so, that has all kinds of stuff to it.
And this was like working with regulators to actually build the regulations from the ground up, right? The fact that I don't need to work with the SEC to define the rules and work with, you know, lobbyists and Congress and have an office in D.C., you know, feels like a huge step up. And so, you know, writing the Series 65 exam and having a compliance program and doing algo reviews. And like, I mean, there's a checklist, and every single week, you know, we meet with our CCO and, you know, go through all these things. That's fine, right? It feels like it's just par for the course. We spent 7 years, you know, actually working with regulators in 9 countries, you know, helping to write the rules and setting standards and writing white papers to prove why, you know, this should be the standard, and working with other industry collaborators, and absolute pain in the ass. But, you know, it ended up creating this incredible regulatory moat, and was a big part of the reason why, you know, we were able to sell the company for, you know, what we sold it for. And I mean, that journey sort of came to a close in 2021 when we sold the company. And then, you know, we bought a house in the Bay Area and started a family. We have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old now, 2 boys that are cute as hell. And, you know, I started thinking about new startup ideas, and I started talking to financial advisors and wealth managers, as you can imagine, right, with a little bit of liquidity. And this is sort of where I enter. I didn't really expect to enter the financial advisory world, but what I found, you know, just the fact that most of these people were simply salespeople with conflicts of interest, you know, trying to get me into their fund that was sort of centrally managed, I really couldn't understand it. And, you know, the more and more I dug into it, the more and more it felt like I needed to do something about this. And so a lot of Portfolio Pilot was simply just born from, you know, a personal need to do something about, you know, what I consider to be a massive, unnecessary, you know, market of middlemen.
Well, you got to look at it this way. I mean, the more you know about it, the more shady that whole world is. Now, I'm not saying everybody's shady inside of that area, but there's a lot of shadiness that goes on, and there's a lot of trust that you have to put into somebody. I've personally lost money by thinking I was invested in something and then the money ended up not being there when I needed it. I mean, I've been there, I've done that, I bought that t-shirt and it sucked. But you know, money's one of those things, it's easy to make. It's just a hell of a lot harder to keep. Mm-hmm. And the more you keep, the better off you are. So having something like this will allow you to be able to keep a better track and a handle on being able to know what's what and what is where and all of those different pieces. So I like it for that aspect.
Sometimes we talk about the fact that it's like, it's mostly all psychology, right? A lot of it is simply just controlling fear and greed, you know, for individuals that they feel a little bit more confident. You know, we're not trying to get people to trade every day, right? We're trying to, if you take 3 recommendations, optimization suggestions once a month, you spend 10 minutes on that, we are happy, right? You are considered a full user in the system, and you know, hopefully you're getting your money's worth with that, and it pays for itself. That's really like our incentive.
So when it goes through and it makes advice, will it look at it for your portfolio, say for all your stocks and everything, and make a recommendation for you to pull a loan on that instead of possibly having loans in other spots you have? So that way you're kind of, I don't want to say avoiding your taxes, but you're reducing the amount of taxes that are out there to be able to kind of leverage that piece. Will it go that deep into it, or does it not touch that side?
Yep. It'll consider loans and leverage that you have and interest that you're paying on that. It'll consider this as part of like whether you're building an efficient portfolio or not. It'll take into account, you know, leverage in your portfolio. You can model that out. Thinking about like interest rates on loans versus, you know, just investing more or being a little bit more diversified, or, you know, thinking about building more sort of high expected return uncorrelated portfolio. I think the way that we've set up the system is so flexible and customizable.
Cool.
That, you know, you can think about the whole thing as basically this iceberg, right? Like, mostly what people see is the recommendations or analysis scoring at the very top. But then if you want, you can dive deeper in and customize, and you can sort of go layers down to understand all the different assumptions. And it's truly up to you whether you go through and dig through all of that. A big part of our motivation is that, you know, we want to be transparent. You know, we want people to trust us. What we find happens pretty often is that, you know, for the first couple of times that people use the product, they really dive in, right? They see what is driving this suggestion at the top here. And let's dive into the underlying data and the portfolio management tools and thinking about all the different factors. And then you start trusting it more and more. And you start simply looking at the suggestions and how you're tracking over time, and, you know, some comparisons to indexes. And I think one of the reasons why people trust it is because you can dive into it and look under the hood, not because you do every time.
I would agree with that. I could totally see that part. So if I was a small business, or if I was a person who's never invested before, has no retirement whatsoever, and I'm starting from a clean thing because I know I need to go through and start building a portfolio up, how's your software going to help me?
this is, I think, the beauty of personalization, right? We ask you the same set of onboarding questions that we ask everybody else. You pull in your portfolio, and it could be $10,000, it could be $10 million. You know, it could be all cash, or it could be some like random penny stock, you know, portfolio. And then, you know, if you're actually getting the financial advice that comes up is basically this menu of different options. And so it'll tell you, Robert, you know, here's the top three things we think you should do. You should sell $6,000 of this stock, this ETF. Here's the taxes you pay. Here's what it does to your downside protection and expected returns. Or we'll say, like, look, you're sitting on this pile of cash from your last paycheck, from an inheritance, whatever it is. And we'll say, you know, you should put 8% of that into this, you know, index fund over here. And that's going to have these consequences for you. Here's what it looks like in your portfolio score. It gets you a little bit closer to retirement. Here's the extra dividends you're going to get every month. And then, you know, you should put, you know, you should put an additional $16,000 into this fund. And then, you know, you'll be left with this amount of cash. And then once you do these three things, it'll recalculate your suggestions. And, you know, from this new place, you know, you'll be able to see it. If you're not quite ready to make those trades, add it to a draft portfolio. So track how that goes over time, compare it to an index, compare it to the external financial advisor. Some people put 50% into a financial advisor and 50% they sort of just manage themselves as sort of a check and balance. Can I do it myself? Am I really getting value from this human financial advisor?
I've seen people have more than one financial advisor just to see which one would do better.
Right, exactly.
And they don't tell you. Yeah. They don't tell each other about you're getting this much money. That's what you get. Yeah. You don't know about this other side I have going on.
I think there's what 400 billion people in the U.S. today, and like everyone has like some unique situation. And I think truly one of the main benefits of AI that it unlocks is this like insane level of personalization to take expert opinions and advice, financial advice, but also everything else, and make that available to the individual. I think that's like, I think a lot of people talk about like all the AI breakthroughs that are going to happen and coding and massive data analysis, but there's something about like bringing expert advice down to the individual and personalizing it to my situation. I think that's sort of the thing that most people are sleeping on. And
yeah, I agree. Like
the big thing that will change humanity, sort of on top of this sort of like the macro, you know, backdrop of higher productivity and, you know, new innovations. But this is what's going to change people's lives.
Well, I think it is. I mean, so if you look at our system for the advice that we make, how we do the listings, we work with over 1,000 networks on the marketing side. Right now, Dean and I are answering 100% of the questions, and we're handling support. And the reason why it's Dean and I inside of there doing it is the co-founders. For one, we have a system that works. We don't have a ton of support tickets that have to come through. For two, right, we're building that database because what scenarios, what questions is the real world going to have? Because then we're able to say, okay, here's our entire history. Now we can start building into where we have personalized information. But it takes gathering all that true data. And no one's really ever gathered that data. No one's ever really looked at that data inside of the marketing world. And I think that's where AI has a lot of potential. And you're going to see a lot of places because it can make decisions and help you make decisions better than I can help you make decisions.
Yeah, exactly. Even using like the expertise that you guys have personalized to someone, right? There must be a reason why they're paying you and they trust you. And if like you get leverage from that using AI, I mean, that it's like, it's not just 30% faster or better or cheaper. We're talking orders of magnitude difference.
Right. And you can get information faster. You can do your research faster if you know how to engineer the right commands inside of it. So, Alex, anybody who's interested in joining Portfolio Pilot, where are they going to find you? Where are they going to find it? And all those good details.
I think probably the two best places to go. Obviously, I would love for people to just sign up for Portfolio Pilot, get your second opinion today, right? Even if you want, a free month, my marketing guy said, just use the discount code podcast, to get a free month of gold to check it out and actually get some of the financial advice. The other big thing that we've been working on recently is basically almost a media company on diversification.com. And so this is a big thing that, it's basically powered by Portfolio Pilot insights and what we're looking at, markets and news. And there's like a way to just calculate your diversification score there. There's an alternatives marketplace that we've set up, basically kind of like a Yelp for alternative investments. And, we're not promoting anything there, basically aggregating it and pulling in some rating systems and letting you filter through hundreds of potential alternative investments. And it's much more focused on asset classes and sectors and macro trends rather than, earnings report of this company or this company just IPO'd or this executive just changed or, Motley Fool type predictions. It's really for long-term investors to zoom out and think like, okay, if I want to cut through the noise, what sort of stuff should I actually be paying attention to? Right. Cool. Like one of the core pieces is, what we consider the most impactful stories of the day. Just five things that
You muted yourself. You went on mute.
Can you hear me now?
Can hear you now, right in the middle of it.
So the five most impactful stories for today for long-term investors. And so, we've set up a daily newsletter, even a weekly sort of summary newsletter that people can subscribe to. And we think about this as like this very close collaboration. And behind the scenes, there's an incredible leverage with AI that we get there. We can basically take the Portfolio Pilot insights and everything that it's looking at in markets and forecasts, and then combine that, with this sort of like more traditional media property on diversification.com to hopefully create a space for long-term investors that isn't, just driven by ads and clicks and is like really more focused on this long-term sort of unconflicted relationship with financial advice, with financial news.
Cool. I love it. And if they're interested in finding Portfolio Pilot, I'm assuming just portfoliopilot.com?
That's right.
Perfect. And where was the other one at?
Diversification.com.
Cool. I totally just, the whole mic thing just totally threw me out of my loop.
Don't mind repeating those.
So I want to make sure those got put over. I was like, I think they did, but I'm not sure. Well, thank you so much, Alex, for coming on today.
Excellent. Thank you so much for having me. Obviously, I love talking about Portfolio Pilot, AI, and finance, and just trying to empower individuals to have a little bit more control and fight back against this sort of like the institutional machine and the way that things are supposed to be done or the way that they've always been done.
I love it. I like it. I'm going to check it out.
Wonderful. Let me know what you think. Robert, thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Alex.